Harry Beaumont, India, bowled over with fever. Dear Bertie, just a few lines to let you know how we're getting on out here. I forgot when I last wrote to you and what news I told you. We marched down from the hills and at 9,000 feet up in the Himalayan mountains last October to Rawalpindi. Then, shortly afterwards, out to camp, returning just before Christmas. In February, I obtained a furlough and had a fine tour of places of interest. Down to Delhi, then right across India to Calcutta. Had several letters of introduction from brother Freemasons to awfully nice people there and had a most enjoyable time. Spent a few days at Agra on the return journey and travelled roughly just over 3,000 miles with several nights in the train. A few days after returning, the regiment was placed under orders to march 83 miles to Nushera on the frontier border, where over 10,000 British and native troops were concentrated. A similar number at Peshawar, further down the frontier, in readiness for threatened trouble, you see, with the Afghans, whom the German intriguers have been amongst. Nushera was a cruel place. Nothing but a dust heap at the foot of a mountain. We spent several weeks here, training in the mountain warfare. My word, it was chronic. The terrific heat and the awful climbing miles, day after day, with the transport on mules and camels through the Rocky Mountain passes. At one bivouac, we encountered bad water, and about 40 of our fellows went down with enteric fever. One died, but the others pulled through, as they have been inoculated. It's a wonderful thing inoculation has proved to be whilst in India. Well, in spite of the hard time, we returned to Rawalpindi in fine condition after the Afghan trouble had subdued for the time being. It's always liable to break out at any moment, you see. We were always in readiness to move at any time. Then we changed to another barracks in Rawalpindi in April and have been stationed on the plains all summer. The heat has been intense. No one ever goes outside after 10 a.m., after tiffin at 1 o'clock. The barracks, and in fact everywhere, is dead to the world until 5 and 6. Which sports such as tennis, cricket, hockey, swimming, at the baths, they're all possible. Every soldier has a panka, a fan, swinging over his bed all night and during the hours of duty during the day. Many sleep out in the barrack square on their beds at night, you see. During the past few weeks, the monsoon has been on, with torrential rain I would fail to describe. Now the intense heat of the sun is draining the moisture out of the earth, with the result that it's like living in a moist fern house at Kew Garden, only worse. And many men are being bowled over with fever. Ever since arriving in India, getting for 2 years ago, I've been as fit as a fiddle and enjoyed exceptional health. Until a fortnight ago, when I was suddenly taken ill with sandfly fever, a most painful, lowering form of fever. I was carried to hospital and also found to be suffering from pleurisy. I was in bed several days, subsisting on a small quantity of milk, with the result that when I was allowed to get up, I was too weak to stand. I am discharged after 10 days and getting on quite all right now, and I'm leaving the next furlough to a hill station in the Himalayas shortly to recuperate. In November, we're on the move again, marching about 80 miles to a big camp, for manoeuvres several weeks. Returning again just before Christmas, but marching 80 miles in 5 days under an Indian sun is very different to cloudy England. Every regiment in India, both regular and territorial, is being heavily reinforced by drafts from England. We've had 3 drafts, one consisting of nearly 300 men, then another of 67, and now another of 84, bringing us to nearly 1,100 men. There are thousands of British troops, mostly terriers, members of the Territorial Army, you see. There are only 8 regular infantry regiments left in India, stationed at various frontier places, and all sorts of rumours prevalent about a big expedition moving during the next few months. All possible preparations are being made for it. Well, if the Indian government makes a disastrous muddle of it when the fighting does come off, as they made over the Mesopotamia campaign, then with those like the ferocious Afghans, there'll be a terrible price to pay in life for the country, and the terrific heat will be enough without having to fight every inch of the way. I can quite picture the changes which must have occurred in the staff of the audit since I left, and of course you are all over the age limit, so have not been called up. I expect, if and when I do return safely to England, it will seem very different under the altered conditions. I shall be glad to get home again, and and I only wish I could see a prospect of doing so with the conclusion of this terrible war. I've had a very enjoyable time in India, apart from soldiering, which I well always did enjoy, although I think I've had sufficient now, having made the acquaintance of an awfully nice resident in Pindi. And, by virtue of rank, being allowed the privilege of wearing mufti makes it so much more comfortable when going out in barracks than being in a tight uniform in this climate. I hear regularly from my wife and little one every week, and am glad to say they are well. Please convey my kindest regards to all those left in the office that I know. Trusting you are all well and fit, we shall meet again before many more months elapse. With best wishes, Harry Beaumont.